Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting come to order. If anybody has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you put them on silent now, it's not to disrupt the rest of this meeting. Appreciate it. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number 3, this is discussion and possible action. Approval of the agenda for this date, May the 17th, 2016. Is there any public comment to today's approval of the agenda? Hearing or seeing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the agenda for May 17, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for April the 19th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for April the 19th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
Move to approve the minutes for April 19, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for April 19th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment concerning today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
Move to approve the consent agenda for today.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. So this will be committee and staff reports. Sheriff, you're sitting over there all by yourself. Do you want to start off today?
Nothing at this time.
Thank you, Sheriff. Mr. Van Havel, planning? Mr. Osborne, planning, human resources, and all kinds of other administrative stuff.
I'll be quick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to give everyone a little bit of a tentative timeline for the completion of the master plan process. At this point, we do see on the agenda today there's an extension for the moratorium on housing development. I'll talk about that at the appropriate time, but it ties into these dates. On May 19th, we're having one more workshop in Lockwood for the master plan. There will be no action by the Planning Commission at the time, but we'll be receiving comments from Lockwood at that time based on some thoughts that were brought up at the last meeting. On June 2nd is tentatively planned for Planning Commission approval. On July 19th would tentatively be County Commission first reading. On August 2nd will be tentative County Commission adoption. And on August 2nd, at that point, the planning or the housing moratorium, if approved, would become null. And then at that point, we'd be completed with the master plan process. There is the possibility of a little bit of an extension on those, but tentatively that's what we're thinking will be done. At this point, Jason and I are reviewing each other's work and proofreading each other's work. We are going to get a professional proofreader just to go through and proofread, look for semicolons that are missing and make sure citations are done correctly and little things like that. Secondly and lastly, I'll be sending out notices. In fact, Lindy will be sending out notices today that we're going to come back with the weed abatement crews working interlocally with the Carson Water Subconservancy District and the Dayton Valley Conservation District and potentially Carson Truckee Conservancy District. And then we'll go do abatement of white top hoary crest and some of the other noxious weeds that we see in 6 and 7 mile canyons, Gold Creek, Gold Canyon, and American Flat. Like we have been doing since 2009. So a lot of folks will be finding that in the mail. If they have already responded in the prior years, they don't want a spray. Those are on record. We will not spray on those properties. We'll respect their interest. Thank you.
Are we making way headway on the White Cop after all these years of spraying?
It is. The first year we went down in 2009, Six Mile Canyon was the start, and it was inundated with White Top. It was nothing else. That and trees. And after the third year of spraying and expanding it to these other areas, if you go down there, all we're doing is just spot sprays now. We're not having to do a massive treatment. And all the native grasses and the sagebrush and those things have all come back. And it just needs a little assistance now. It's no longer a massive project.
Yeah. Everything's growing this year. Any questions for
Austin? Yeah. Austin, just out of curiosity, this the building moratorium.
Uh-huh.
This is for the, we're talking high density type housing and apartments or whatever.
I'll be careful because that is an agendized item today, Mr. Commissioner. If you would like, happy to go ahead and give a full presentation on that before this board considers
I guess my question was, is there anybody waiting for that moratorium to end so that they can apply?
I don't have confirmation of, but I would suggest that there is at least some interest in that coming to a close, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Over at the BCTC, Mr. Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, good morning. Chilly on the construct. Looks like it kicked off pretty well for us. Just the early results on some of the tickets that we sold indicates that we almost did double what we've done over the last 2 years for ticket sales. So I don't know if that was actual attendance or we just had a lot of hungry people in town, but the event seemed to do very well this year. Look, for being in a new venue in cramped quarters, it was pretty successful apparently. So when we get the final numbers, we'll release those, but it'll take a couple weeks. But early indications, not too bad. To follow up that Memorial Day weekend, we'll have our Memorial Day parade on the 28th, Saturday. And then that's the same weekend that the steam train kicks off. Tom Gray, the long line, and the short line will be running in full swing. June 4th, the Reno Tahoe Odyssey. So you got 3,500 runners, so probably close to 5,000 people will come through in about a six-hour window. We'll close off portion of downtown between Taylor and Union Streets just for the morning hours. After that, we'll open it up to the Iron Horses. Street Vibrations Spring Run will come through, and we'll have bike-only parking on that same day. So a very busy day on June 4th. Followed up by June 11th, Taste of the Comstock. This year, we combine it with mining, single jack competition, and we're going to be moving that along with the check-in area to the Jerky Company. They're redoing that parking lot. We're going to move the granite block along with possibly another mining artifact up there in a way that kind of beautifies that particular parking lot. And we'll be putting interpretive signs on those and other mining equipment that are kind of sitting across town or in parts of town where folks can understand what that is and what it means to us here on the Comstock. So, that's all I have.
Great. Any questions for Dennis?
I thought Chile was great, Denny. I mean, the booths looked great. The event was well organized. So my hats off to not only you guys, but to Neil and Jesse and Liquid Blue.
Thank you. Yeah.
Terrific event. Over at Community Relations, Sherry Nevin. At the our Director of Communications. Mr. Bailey?
Good morning. Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. I just wanted to take a couple minutes just to kind of let you guys know some of the stuff we've been working on and where we are with it. Last month, it's been probably about 3 weeks to a month now, we cut over some of our offices to a voice over IP system. We moved the sheriff and the DA and the jail over to that. their system at the time that they had in there was one of the older systems, and it failed. And it was actually cheaper to probably put a new system in. We've had a few bugs with it, but they've been pretty minor, and it seems to be working pretty good. The equipment is spot on. It's probably some of the best equipment we own. The internet connections with it had a few hiccups. Somehow we installed it. We got it fixed. Most of the problems we have with it right now is people saying it sounds kind of funny, and I think it's just a different sound to it. It's a high-definition sound. It sounds more of a like a cellular phone sometimes than it does a regular landline, and people aren't used to that yet. But it's been pretty successful so far. We're probably looking at, as we go, we'll use this stuff down here at this building for a while, work out some bugs, and if we have to replace another system, we'll probably go the same way. The big thing that was really the selling point on it is the equipment itself, after you buy it, is the monthly service. That part of that building's over there, the sheriff and the DA and the jail. The county's probably paying about $1,200 a month through AT&T to use it. The new system's about $330 a month, better equipment, and so far it seems like it's working pretty good. I'm sure maybe the DA and the sheriff could tell you some different stories with it, but so far I haven't had too many complaints. We had a couple when we first put it in, but overall it's been pretty good. T-Mobile is providing their next generation Phase 2 wireless 911 stuff now. I just got the notice the other day, and that basically means if you call 911 on a T-Mobile phone, we're going to get the same information that AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint are giving us. They're going to give us locations, GPS coordinates, and stuff like that. I know T-Mobile's putting some equipment up here on the flagpole, and that's where you might notice that the flag's missing right now, and there's some panels blew off of it. They had some damage over the weekend. The high winds kind of tore it up a little bit, so they'll be up to fix that here pretty soon. And then the other thing I just want to kind of talk about a little bit, I'm sure you're aware, we had a pretty significant internet failure yesterday in dispatch and the courthouse and a few other buildings. And that was brought on by AT&T. Part of their plans are they're going to phase out wireless. I mean, I'll take that back, copper wire. They're going to phase that out. I think the dates they're talking is 2017. I don't see it happening by then. But yesterday was part of that. They took the DSL services out of there. Most people in town now are on UVerse, and so yesterday they discontinued some of the DSL services, and that kind of impacted us. James went up and got the tech and rattled his cage a little bit, and they reinstalled it and had us back on last night by about 8:30. So it's something that we're going to have to think about for not just us, but for anybody else out there, too. If you have DSL, you're probably going to have to eventually move it to UVerse here, probably sooner than later, before they cut it out completely. That's all I have.
Any questions?
I do. Before you leave, Dave, I wanted to again compliment you and also James Dean, who's left. But I was in a meeting late yesterday afternoon with Commissioner Gilman and Dean and others, and this blew up. And when a dispatch center loses its internet, it basically loses its functionality practically, especially in terms of our ability to access state records and those types of things. And between Dave's efforts and James Dean's efforts, I never once replied to an email or a text. I was kept well informed, but they handled it, and by the time I got home last night, all was good. So great job.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks.
Next up over at Community Development, Mr. Haymore.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners. Just to update, the Gold Hill Depot project's going well. It should be completed by Memorial Day. Back down there again this morning. We should have cabinets in the next couple of days in the granite and the finish up. So that's looking well. Had the final groundbreaking meeting planning with NDOT and Ames Construction yesterday. The county's going to be a little bit involved in that. We talked about it in our earlier morning meeting, some of the assignments that we're going to provide at that. We're going to provide a couple of our vans to take people at the end of USA Parkway to the groundbreaking site. Pat's working on who will speak and who's going to be assigned in a seating. VIP, I will be there to let VIPs, the county commissioners, Roger Norman, Tesla, and people to drive right down to the site. So you can drive right down to the site. but they don't want the general public on the road where they're going to be at. Let you know that all the business license renewals have been sent out from our office. We're right around a little over 1,200. We've gone up close to 400 this year alone of new business licenses. So those renewals have hit the post office, and I'm sure some of you might be already seeing yours coming to you. So with that, we're pleasantly busy and trying to stay up. We do have a round of interviews tomorrow to try to hire some inspector and things like that to help us out. We've been putting in a lot of time trying to stay up with all the work working. Any questions?
Any questions for Dean?
Thank you.
Well, just one comment. You know, Dean took me through the Gold Hill Depot late last week or early this week, and I would encourage you, if you see the doors open and the construction trucks out there, poke your head in. We've made tremendous project in this building, and this particular phase of it is right at 100,000, just a skosh under, and we're going to have you know, kind of a small kitchen area, modern bathrooms, handicap access, decks facilitated into that, and a very functional entrance door. I think I'm amazed at what we're doing down there. All the years that we've kind of struggled with seeing little steps, if any steps. I'm so grateful for Dean's involvement as the project manager. It's really going well, and something to be proud of. It's going to be an exciting venue, I think, for Denny Dotson and his folks to leverage off of when Piper's isn't available or viable. I think there are a lot of possibilities out there. The Gold Hill Hotel is, you know, excited and going to use it as a wedding venue and, you know, those types. So.
That's great. One more venue. Great. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work. Okay. From the Recorder Auditor's Office, Ms. Chapman, do you have anything?
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Mr. Gallagher, do you have anything out of the Comptroller's Office?
Just one bit of news. Next Tuesday, we will be having the final budget review. I apologize to the Commission for the lateness of this. We were going to try, in our haste to get this done, to put on the agenda this week. We got all of our work done, but failed to notify anybody in the paper. So consequently, we'll have a special one next Tuesday. I anticipate it to be very brief. There's been probably two or three adjustments that we've made. But other than that, everything remains static. And we'll do that next Tuesday.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Anybody have any questions? Okay, move along now to the Fire Department. Chief Haynes.
Good morning. Just a few updates. I apologize. The dash report, just a dashboard report that I'm generating monthly, just came out yesterday. We had a couple little ERS issues with our software rebooting, so some of the stuff had to go back and be recreated. But hopefully that report's beneficial to everyone. I know it helps us internally. Moving on to fuels, they're burning in the canyon this morning. They're trying to get everything burned on the south side of 6 Mile. And everything on the north side, they're probably going to leave until next fall. So if you see piles over there, it's just because it's too wet to burn. It's not burning clean enough for us. We are working on our next fuels grant, which will be kind of along Geiger Grade and out into Bailey's Canyon. You see all those dead patches, and beetles are really, really thick through there. So we're working with some foresters, with the state and federal cooperators to try to address that. That'll be the focus of our next grant that should be being submitted in the next 30 days or so. Spring weeds, I'm sure if everybody else's house is like mine, it's just out of control. We'll be doing some press releases just to remind folks about the You Call We Haul program. Those are out almost nonstop right now, so if you do need those trailers, call well in advance, and it's probably going to be 2 to 3 weeks out, but they are still available. That program's working really, really well. Volunteer recruitment grant, that should be coming out. It just went out in the 1 acre newsletters. We've partnered with the 10 acres and with Ronell through RAF Strategies to get some banners, media advertisement. I'm going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about here, but some Facebook and Snapchat, if I'm not mistaken. That's what my daughter told me it was. So we're working through that. You'll see those coming out in the form of press releases. And last but certainly not least, we're planning an event on June 2nd, first year of this event. It's being termed, for lack of a better term, the Junior Firefighter Olympics type thing. You've seen the firefighter challenges where they do the mannequin pulls, rope drags, ladder stuff. So we're putting together a little obstacle course. We're going to roll that out at the middle school level, get some time, some weights for different levels of kids. And then next year we're anticipating to roll this out to the high school, middle school, and elementary school. So we're pretty excited about that. It should be a really fun event. If you're around, it's going to go all day June 2nd at baseball field at Myers Park.
Great.
And any questions that I can answer?
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Director of Security, Melanie Keene.
Nothing
to do with you. Very good. Thank you. Special counsel, Mr. Morse.
Nothing at this time. How are you?
Deputy DA,
Mr. Loomis. Mr. Chairman,
thank you. County Manager Whitten.
Oh, I got quite a bit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dean mentioned USA Parkway. I'm going to go off my normal routine here and walk you through an important meeting that Dean and I and Chris attended. Last week. It's a stakeholders meeting. It was very informative, so I'm going to review that in just a minute. But please, again, make sure you mark your calendars. Meg Reganese with NDOT Public Relations and I are working together, as she is working with Dean on the event itself. I'm trying to figure out who's been invited by who. Please, we'd love for you guys to come. That includes the media. It's June 7th at 3 o'clock. Drive out to Pavement End, and the process will kind of take you from there, as he mentioned. I want to take some time to talk about USA Parkway, and I gave you each a handout today of about four slides of about 14 or so that Pedro shared with a very large group of people, anywhere from Kate Bennett with the airport to more economic development and commerce people in Silver Springs that I knew there were even people in Silver Springs, to NDOT, to Ames Construction, to a wide plethora of people. I did put about four or five copies on the back rail back there if anybody wants to pick these up, and I can send it to you electronically if you catch me after the meeting. But basically, it's all good news. As you can tell, and as we've heard and learned before, it's being structured as a design build. That means we're not wasting time to build it and just standing still while it's still being designed in certain phases. So that's very important in the process. I left that meeting, I don't know about Dean and Gary and Chris, but I left that meeting feeling very confident that even though they might be primarily based in Utah, Ames Construction, I think, is the right people for this job. They're on it. They've been very easy to work with from our level as their landlord. The great news here is they are now publicly saying that this project is on time currently for a late summer 2017 opening. I'm sure there'll still be work to go on after that, but it's going to be pretty exciting for some of us to live in Dayton and Virginia City to be able to get out to the industrial park and even Winnemucca and beyond by going that way. So looking forward to it. The designs still are in a preliminary phase. I mean, they know where they want to come out. They know what they want to do, but, it's a work in process. NDOT was exceptionally complimentary of Ames. They said they pulled off some miracles. Just so everybody's prepared for this, expect a roundabout where it comes out on Highway 50. It'll be a high-speed roundabout, and it's going to come out pretty much still on target to come out at Opal, which is the northwest corner of the airport fence. They basically have broken this down into three phases. Phase one is 6 miles total, including 4 miles currently improved on the Story County side. That will be going probably instantaneously after groundbreaking on the 7th, if not before. Equipment continues to be mobilized out there. There will also be some safety improvements to our portion of the road, the portions we own, that they have a perpetual maintenance easement on, and these are, again, all at their expense. Then they move into the second phase, which is about 8.5 miles, and that's a totally new alignment. It'll probably be a two-track road at this stage, but I'm sure between the easements that they picked up and everything, they can send that to four. And then the last phase will occur in about spring of 17. That'll be the roundabout down in 50, and also there's two or three private properties that need to be acquired. There's going to be two wildlife and ATV crossings. The good news for us is they're both in Wyatt County. So we really have nothing, which hopefully Lynn has a tendency to change those migration patterns, particularly the horses. That's a pro-horse comment, not a negative one. So $76 million bid. I did not know this. It is all state funded. I really thought there was federal money being passed through the state for the project, but the state is... But the state has to fund it in the interest of time, simply because if there were federal monies, there would have been much more intensive permitting processing and whatnot. They have already gotten pretty much done, I believe, with the BLM portion was the impression I was under. Chris asked some great questions, particularly for surface ancillary roads and intersections. I believe their engineer and NDOT and Ames are working together to identify those. The message we kept getting over and over and over again is tell us now or get out of our way, boys, because this road's going to get built. So, but they basically said we have to balance flexibility with also the speed limit and our construction schedule. And I don't know about you guys, but I came away with the impression that they're going to stick to the existing speed limits out there. That, you know, anything less designed, less safe, that would reduce that speed limit is not in the playbook for them. You can expect a wildlife fence, particularly on the unpaved portions and probably the paved portion south of Zulily, that would be similar, if not identical, to the fence that's on US 50 right now. I guess this is good news, and I know it's good news. I just see sometimes some of the money we spend on this stuff, and I say, really, especially when you know how much it is, but we're going to get the aesthetic landscape funding for this thing, too. It does sound like, again, with some great ideas from Chris, hopefully a pretty cool monument at the north end, and then I think the Lyon County entranceway will be focused on horses, which is fine. Chris, again, stressed, you know, if you're going to go industrial, don't show some smokestacks from the old days of Pittsburgh. You know, we even offered to probably try to get them a Tesla, and they could bronze it and stick it on some type of pole or something. There'll be chain-ups there. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of lights out there from the conversations I've had with these guys, so I don't know. But, yeah, there are in your presentation, you know, kind of their schedules. They really have gone through their first two notice to proceed. They continue to go through preliminary design. The groundbreaking information is there, and it was probably one of the best, biggest meetings I've been to in a long time. I mean, they did a super job. Conversely, one of the shortest meetings I've ever been to went yesterday. That was the Nevada Tax Commission, and they unanimously approved, finally, the memorandum of understanding between us and them that will allow people in Dean's office, Hugh's office, my office, Vanessa's office, and our district attorney's office to review sales and use tax returns for accuracy. So we're developing internal policies right now. Hugh and I are trying to figure out what kind of threshold we want on a purchase. Dean's very good usually at filling us in weekly and every other week on this business is doing a large conveyor racking expansion. You know, those are the types of big ticket items we want. I want to sit down with taxation with you and Jennifer and others on our team and begin to get to know how a transaction is reported sales tax wise, because apparently it's different if it comes in from out of state as opposed to in state. So we've got a long way to go, and this is only a 2-year agreement. The commission did express some concerns, like, was tax station staff to do it, and the AG, the deputy AG, did a very good job fielding those questions, and the director did too, Ms. Conti. But we're off to the races now, keeping in mind that there's about a 3-month lag on sales and use tax return. If you look at projects, We're going to be very vigilant and attentive to the amount of the purchase and who should be reporting sales tax on that. And then we're going to specifically work with taxation on foreign notes and verifying that we're getting credit for those. So, big milestone. I would say we've been working on this for over 15 years. So, it's a big, big, big day. The deputy director, Cherry Rubald, came up to me and gave me a hug and said, been a long time. So, one down. Now all we have to do is take on the U.S. Post Office, I guess.
That's good. Any questions for Pat?
Thank you for your indulgence.
Great. We have clerk's office, metal clerk. What's there today? Okay, that concludes committee and staff reports. Didn't miss anybody today. All right, we'll move along now to, this is item number 12, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. This is review of the third quarter 2016 unaudited budget to actual review. Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look through the various documents through the budget, I'm going to summarize these. So you don't have to slip through so many pages, but overall, I'm thinking that this third quarter compared to actual is very consistent with where we want to be. There are some numbers that we have between 2015 and 16. We have increased our revenues. Somewhere along the line, we've had our third quarter expenses are less than last year's at this point in time compared to the budget, which I think is very good. Fourth quarter, of course, is underway. We've got a month and a half before the close of the year. And department heads were discussed this morning that, as always, we take a look at those and those expenditures that are for use in this year will be expended in this year. Any of those that will be paid for this year and for expense or use in the following year will be journalized into a receivable. With that, taking a look at the revenue items, our ad valorem is at about 99% where we want to be. And this, of course, with the fourth quarter, there's very, very little ad valorem coming in. However, when you look at the assessors, it is showing about 55%. We are normally right now at 75%. Now, this is as of March 31st, so keep that in mind. However, what happens when we start doing the budget process for 2017, all of the billing processes for personal property at that point in time, kind of take a back burner so we can get a number of where we think we're going to be in 2017. That has now been billed out, and as of today, we're at about 71%, hopefully with the more billings that have to be paid by May 31st for those billings that were in limbo. Business license renewal is at 23%, where it should be as of 75%, but it does not take into effect payments from the prior years of $103,000. And also, we may want to remind everybody that those billings that were just sent out now, some of those are going to be due before June 30th. Payments in lieu of taxes is sitting at 8%. However, there were payments in June of last year because of the department taxation and a lot of these places are months behind. We will probably get that in June. We should be okay there. Overall, revenues are tracking at 94% for the third quarter. And as of today, they're 103%. So I think on the revenue side, we've hit it pretty good. I mean, it's a good number. From our expenditures, as we look through the various reports, you will see that there's really not a whole lot that's out there. I think within the general fund, I think all the department heads have done a great job with their budgets. The commissioners are at 73%, clerk treasurers at 68%, and this is all compared to 75% now. The recorders at 65%. Assessors at 72, admin's a little over at 77, buildings and grounds is 54, The sheriff's at 76, community development is at 72, our district attorney is at 67, district court is at 54, justice court is at 73, health and human services is at 59%, swimming pools at 37, but understand their operations are going to start gearing up here probably, and they'll have 1 month left in this fiscal year, and then they continue into 2017. And a lot of their upstarts will happen in June, a lot of the expenses for the upstart. Community relations is at 68, our service department 70, our IT department at 75, my department's at 76. Emergency management is 105, but as we remember in July of last year, we had an emergency situation for a firefighter crew out of the industrial park, and that was handled through emergency management. We will augment that come the last meeting in June. And emergency area and planning is at 48. So I see the expenditures of all of our department heads are well within range. We have not touched our contingency which is about $313,000. We will look at doing that as this next month and into next month progress. We may take a little bit of that to prepare for some of the emergencies, i.e., the emergency management situation that I prepared that I've just previously mentioned, and maybe some other ones for which we'll try and get hopefully commission approval. Our special revenue funds, I think, are running smooth, with the exception of a couple. Rose is at 26%, but understand that Mike Nevin's got about $375,000 left in his budget this year for road improvements, which hopefully we can get done. And he's got $60,000 in equipment acquisition, for which I think there'll probably be an expenditure between now and June 30th. Emergency mitigation has no expenditures. Equipment acquisition is at about 337% now. Within that department, we are providing appropriations for fire and road equipment. This fund will be reimbursed for this equipment by sales, and also we're probably going to request some transfers to get this fund back up. Capital projects is at 74%. Infrastructure is still sitting at 20. However, we do have some projects going, which I will mention during the final review, final budget review. Our water system is sitting at 49, which is excellent. The sewer department is sitting at negative 280. And this is, anytime you get something that's drastically over, sometimes we're going to take a look at this. A lot of it has to do with the fact that we're still on our second year of trying to figure out how much chemicals we've got to use on there. And Mike's been very diligent about that. Sometimes it's usage, sometimes it's just trying to get this new plant underway. There's also some interest expense that was not budgeted in this prior year that they're accumulated for this year. But that should rectify itself by June 30th. The USDA is an in-and-out account for the new treatment plant and our fire district purchases. The drug court is at 60, or technology fund is at 61%. And then, of course, we've got the school general, school debt, and the state fund, which are just in-and-out accounts that we use for revenues coming in from the state. And, of course, then we have to give the money back. To whether it's the school debt, the school general fund, or the state. Indigent accident is at 75. Our justice court fund is at 97, and that's probably due to pretrial services, expenses for that, since we are having a few more trials up here, and some computer equipment to satisfy the usage the overusage and some of the obsolescence that's going on. We also know that in the coming months, or there is going to be a significant relocation for which we are planning on at this point in time. The VC Rail project is at 14%. We'll have probably an update for you next week on the VC, on that project. And the VC Tourism Commission, revenue is sitting at 72%, and expenses at 81%, of which when I talked to Denny, a lot of the cemetery gym purchases were not put in inventory, but they were expensed. And that inventory item, once that's pulled out, will give them a much better view as to what's going on with their revenue. And also there were some capital purchases for the fairgrounds and some social media purchases. So from Denny's point, I think once we move a lot of that stuff into the inventory, we'll be in good shape. Fire District 474, the revenues are sitting at 86%, which are great. The expenditures are at 87%, which are primarily reflect the additional resources for the industrial park, and plus in this is $136,000 of contingency, which we will probably use to gauge some of these if there's some over expenditures due to the emergencies and due to the funding out in the industrial park. And for the most part, the fire emergency fund remains static. And then our mutual aid fund is really a pass-through that reflects out-of-state fire assignments, any net revenue received or recorded from that usually goes to heavy equipment maintenance and upkeep of that heavy equipment. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my summation. I think for the third quarter, I think all the funds, including the general fund, are well within balance, and we will we'll look forward to having probably a better idea of this come June 30th, but I'm pretty pleased with it right now.
All right. Commissioners, have any questions for you? No? I think that the department heads and the elected officials did a phenomenal job of keeping their budgets in balance. They've done a great job of managing their funds.
That's great.
Okay, at this time, we'll go ahead and move on to item number 13. This is board comment. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner McGuffey, would you like to start?
Yes. I know the Nevada State Eagles Convention is a couple weeks past now, but we did, Virginia City did receive a nice certificate from the state Aries. And it says, whereas Virginia City Fraternal Order of Eagles so graciously invited the Nevada State Auxiliary to Virginia City, Nevada, and whereas the host area, that's Virginia City, through its committees has worked many months planning interesting and enjoyable activities to satisfy its officers, delegates, representatives, and visitors. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Nevada State Auxiliary expresses its heartfelt thanks and sincere appreciation to the host area, who has worked long hours to make the 2016 convention run smoothly and successfully. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the Secretary of the Host Area for its records. As signed by the Nevada State Auxiliary President, Jerry Jordan, and the resolution chairperson, Asia Maslin. Just an attaboy for Virginia City. I got lots of compliments from everybody that went shopping. They said the food, wherever they ate, was great, and they did do some shopping where they could. They had a great time. Tom Gray did a nice job getting everybody on the train for a very reasonable price. So they were tickled with that, and so they had a good time, and they're looking forward to coming back again. In fact, there was even the word brought up at our last meeting that they want to know if there's a possibility of having the state convention here permanently. And as long as somebody else is doing it, fine. So I just wanted to give Virginia City an attaboy. It was a good job.
OK. Congratulations, Past President McGuffey. Yeah, your whole crew did a great job of organizing that state convention. All right. Vice Chairman Gilman.
I have nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have something today. As you know, that when we get to this point, if any longtime Comstocker who isn't with us anymore, I'd like to put out a few words about him. This most recent gentleman was Carl Small. I believe Carl was 82, lived on the Comstock for many years with his wife, Connie. You'd see his residence down on Union and about E or F Street. He's got a couple of donkeys and horses in his corral over there. So Carl's quite a character here on the Comstock, and he's going to be, he'll be missed by his friends, neighbors, and relatives. So anyway, we hope Carl rests in peace. So moving along now to item number 14. This is discussion, possible action, consideration of and possible action to approve the transfer of the county's allocation of authority to issue private activity bonds to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority in the amount of $208,217.19. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, Deputy District Attorney. And let me initially introduce Mr. Brewer, who is here from the Nevada Rural Housing Association. He's their deputy director, and invite him to come up. And I'm going to make some initial comments on this and ask him if he has anything he'd like to add. Every year, the federal government issues to the states a certain amount of authority to issue private activity bonds. In this case, Nevada received somewhere in the area of about $300 million. The state then allocates 50% of that amount to local governments, and that is distributed on the basis of population. In Story County's case, there are allocations about $208,000. Private activity bonds, the interest on private activity bonds is tax exempt, and so it's, if you can bring a qualifying project, you can ask to be provided bonds under that program. $208,000 really won't get you very far in terms of a private project, and so typically the Nevada Rural Housing Association comes to the counties and the local governments that have smaller amounts and ask for the transfer of that allocation, which they then issue. In this case, they're going to be using it for a mortgage credit certificates, which are utilized to allow low-income first-time homeowners to qualify for loans, and that's, they're basically are asking the county to go ahead and authorize the transfer of that allocation so they can use it for their program. And Mr. Brewer, come on up if you have anything you'd like to add.
Thank you very much. Appreciate this opportunity and appreciate the commission for hearing our request so quickly. Bill Brewer, Nevada Rural Housing Authority, by the way. This is a partnership that started in 2006 with Nevada Rural Housing Authority and the rural cities and counties in Nevada to bring home ownership opportunities to rural Nevada. And we did this by asking the cities and counties to transfer their portion of the bond cap to NRHA, which we would then pool and issue mortgage products that would serve families and help them to get into housing. Partnerships worked wonderfully, really well. We've served 4,500 families over the past several years, almost three-quarters of $1 billion in economic activity during that time, all in rural Nevada. September 2015, we implemented a new taxable program for our loans that allows us to couple that with mortgage credit certificates. The mortgage credit certificate is a tax credit to the home buyer that saves them about $2,000 a year on their income taxes, which fundamentally increases their spendable income, enables them to purchase a little more house, or enables them to spend that money in their community. In October and November, we simplified our product substantially along with the Nevada Housing Division, which has really increased the usage of the program, which is a good thing. Unfortunately, it's to put a limit on our ability to serve because of the bond cap that we currently have, which is why we're coming to the cities and counties at this time requesting that transfer of bond cap. We would have to shut the program down in July if we weren't able to get this accomplished. So we appreciate your consideration of that request. We provided a sample resolution to the county that you might use in transferring that if you so choose. And we'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Brewer, have you asked Horry County to transfer the allocation in the past?
Yes. That's a great question. We have in 2006, as I mentioned, we began this and we approached Horry County several times. Thereafter, we haven't for several years because we had enough bond cap to fund our programs for some time. In fact, and we were obtaining bond cap from the state for some years and sent a letter to the counties a few years ago and asked them not to transfer bond cap because we had an adequate supply. This year, there's a significant demand on the bond cap at the state level, and so they've asked us to approach the local communities and do the transfer if we can.
Yeah. So you anticipate utilizing your total allocation for the bond cap this
year? Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I can substantiate what Mr. Brewer is saying. I mean, this was a historic. I'm surprised to hear it only started in 2006. I thought it went back before that, and so did Dean. But we have historically done this whenever they've asked us to and needed it, and it's always gone to good projects across the state. So.
And if we were to transfer it to them, we wouldn't really have any utilization for it on
exactly.
County level, is that correct?
Exactly, that's my understanding from talking with the folks in our EJ.
All right. Commissioners, questions?
No, you asked the question I wanted to ask.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked
good
you
job.
First.
Yeah, really. Yeah, what were you thinking?
No question.
Anything there? It sounds to me like you have a good program going there, Deputy Director. Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this issue? Staff's recommendation?
Staff's recommendation is to approve the resolution authorizing the transfer of its allocated portion of authority to issue private activity bonds to NRHA and authorize the county manager to sign that document.
Okay. Can I get a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution authorizing Story County to transfer its allocated portion of authority to issue private activity bonds to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority and to authorize the county manager to sign such documents.
All right. I have a motion. I have a second.
You have a second.
Very good. It's been moved to second to approve this action. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for coming up today, Mr. Brewer.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion and possible action. Approval and acceptance of a National Park Service Historic Preservation Grant Award in the amount of $25,088 for training at the 2016 Historic Preservation Forum and the Story County Courthouse Building Safety Improvements and authorization for Sherry Nevin to sign all associated grant documentation. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry Nevin for the record. In February of this year, we applied for a National Park Service Historic Preservation Grant, which is administered by the State Historic Preservation Office, known as SHPO, to attend the 2016 Historic Preservation Forum in Mobile, Alabama. This is a one-of-a-kind conference. It's held every other year. We have never attended that. And so the state came to us and said it'd be a great opportunity for county folks and members of our Historic Preservation Comstock Historic District Commission. The second part of this grant is for specifically to continue to move forward with the planning for seismic retrofitting here in this building. We've used this particular grant to fund all the engineering for the plans. We're about 90% there. Next step will be to seek services from a cost estimator to kind of give us a cost of what all these retrofits are going to cost us. So we had originally requested about $50,000. They always tell us to ask for more because if you don't ask for more and they give you less, you know, so we got about 50% of what we were asking for. So we're going to get $25,088. This grant does come with a match. The match is only on the portion related to the courthouse here. There's no match related to the travel. So if anyone has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer those.
And that match is $6,700?
Yep, approximately. There may be a little bit more. Our travel budget is, I don't think we're going to spend all that money. I was able to do a little bit of cost saving as far as flying to another airport, saving us a little bit of money. We had some savings, too, with some hotels, so trying to maximize our dollar and try to move some of those funds back into the courthouse project. So,
okay. That's not bad considering we're asking for, we're maybe getting $25,000.
Uh-huh. That's pretty darn good. There's only about $100,000 available in this grant program. Yeah. So, you know, it seems like every year it goes down a little bit. We hope it'll go up again. But we're fortunate to get what we get.
And so then approximately about $10,000 going towards the courthouse
project.
That's good. I sit on the Comstock Historic Commission, and I know that there are a couple individuals who plan on attending this conference in Mobile. So it's a good deal.
We'll be joined by folks from the State SHPO office, Carson City Historic Preservation Commission, Reno, Las Vegas, and I think Rick from Henderson. So
that's
it'll be
good.
a good session. For
this will be great training. Okay. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this? Hearing that, can I get a motion to approve and accept this?
I move to approve and accept a National Park Service Historic Preservation Grant award in the amount of $25,088 for training at the 2016 Historic Preservation Forum and Story County Courthouse Building Safety Improvements, and authorization for Sherry Nevin to sign all associated grant documentation.
I get a second on that?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and second to accept this National Park Service Historic Preservation Grant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you, Ms. Nevin. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion of possible action. Amend the cooperative agreement for the creation of Nevada Works by and among 13 counties of the state of Nevada and the Nevada Works in order for the agreement to conform to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard John Thurman from Nevada Works speak on this item a few months ago, and there was some work to do, and this commission asked that this Board of Nevada Works go to the other counties, get those signatures, and see how those counties felt before the county here took action. So at this point, all of the other 13 counties that are within the jurisdiction of Nevada Works has signed this Memorandum of Understanding, and then the question is whether Story is to join. I do want to provide a very brief background just to kind of reorientate us to what exactly Nevada Works is. What happens, you've got the Department of Labor from the United States and the Department of Education from the United States has monies available to go to all of the states, and that money can be used to help people find work, and the people that they're targeting are people that are at risk and people that have barriers to employment. Everything from youth that are too young or very young for employment to senior citizens, disabled, people like that. So Nevada Works, that money sends to the state, and then the state sends that money to Nevada Works for the northern counties to determine where that money should go for local organizations that are both private and public and nonprofit. Community Chest, for example, is one of those. And then I sit on the Nevada Works board along with other members. I also serve on the subcommittee that goes through all the applications every year, such as Community Chest and others like it, to determine where this money goes in respect to the goals and objectives of Nevada Works and what we're trying to accomplish. And so that money goes to organizations that provide education and training, employment services, people that are seeking services and rehabilitation, all different kinds of groups, and these different groups specialize in their area of employee benefit. Really what we're doing right now is everything Nevada Works was up until year 2014 worked under the Workplace Improvement Act. Now it is the Workplace Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014. This memorandum of understanding changes language to comply with the new law under its new title. That's really about what we have in this case and what we're being asked to join in on is memorandum of understanding with 13 other states to participate when Nevada works as we have been.
How much does this cost for a county?
This money is not Story County money. It's a memorandum of understanding simply for Nevada Works to then take money from the federal government, from the state, and use that money. So it's not an obligation from our county to provide to Nevada Works.
Very good. Is there any reason why we wouldn't
No.
approve this?
In fact, Nevada Works works very hard with these organizations that provide employment opportunity for people here in Virginia City, Tri-Center, everywhere else in the state. They go everywhere from people, youth that want to try to get employment training and they want to become skilled at something. They work with the college system, the University of Nevada, Reno. They work with places like Ridge House that provide rehabilitation for ex-felons that want to get back into employment. They work with places like the Community Chest that provide all different types of arrays of training and benefits and trying to get these people work.
And if I may kind of take a different spin than Austin, but really with the same net message. You know, I think Commissioner Gilman and I, as recently as yesterday, about 4:30 in the afternoon, were asked some very challenging questions by a very promising prospect that may bring us multiple businesses eventually. About workforce availability, I believe he repeatedly called it talent. And when you think of Nevada Works, combined with Dieter, combined with some of the rest of these organizations, there really is this collaborative network of those folks, the folks at the community colleges, the folks at the university, and even the folks in the K-12 systems that are looking at trade school solutions and stuff like that. So these guys do play a vital, positive role, not just your typical, what you might think about, unemployment, underemployment type agencies. They're a good group.
All the right answers. Any questions for Austin? Okay. Any public comment on this? Do you have any questions? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve.
I move to approve the amendments to the cooperative agreement for this creation of Nevada Works by and among 13 counties of the state of Nevada, including Story County and Nevada Works, in order for the agreement to conform to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I have a second.
Been moved and second to amend the cooperative agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. At this time, we'll go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Moving along now to item number 17. This is discussion and possible action. The first reading of ordinance number 15-271, amending Story County Code Chapter 5.12, sale of alcoholic beverages, and Section 8.28.025, alcoholic beverages, to revise the procedure for issuing and revoking business and liquor licenses and providing for other properly related matters. Mr. Morris.
Good morning, Board. Robert Morris for the record. Today is the first reading of a liquor board ordinance, and I would sort of basically remind the board that first readings are when you present the ordinance to the public to have a look at what it says. There's going to be a second reading, which is the time that you have the public hearing on the contents of the ordinance. This one has enough changes in it that I might recommend to the board that they have two second readings on the ordinance, just to make sure that we get all the issues discussed and decided appropriately. So what I would like to do is just read it by title into the record. This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5.12, sale of alcoholic beverages, and Section 8.28.025, 6.025 alcoholic beverages to revise the procedure for issuing and revoking liquor licenses and providing for other properly related matters. If there are any basic questions you have, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I'd ask that you go ahead and approve the first reading of this ordinance.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have questions?
No questions.
Okay. I read it, Mr. Morris, and I'm going to read it several more times and, to make sure that I'm not missing anything or don't understand anything that's in there. I think this is a good start. It's been a long time since there's been any updates on this ordinance.
And if I might just say briefly, we did have the workshop back in November, and I thought it was a good start. I think there was a lot of interest in the issues that were presented. I do have at the back of the agenda action report some issues that were left over from the workshop that I think that are interesting, and then general issues for discussion that I plan to add a little bit more information so that the board has it for the public hearing.
That's good. Well, as you've updated many of the county ordinances to date so far, we see that a lot of things are antiquated and improper verbiage and things like that. So as you've lined out a lot of things that just don't apply anymore, and so that's good. This is another great attempt at cleaning up our county ordinances. So thank you for your efforts on that, and I'll go ahead and ask if there's public comment on this.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Sheriff.
On the rewrite that you did, Bob, there's some, and along with your question one.
Yes.
As far as the fingerprinting and the background and everything, is that there are some issues that come up with the disclosure of civil applicants that have come up as far as all civil processes. Is that something you want to discuss here? Do you want to talk about that before the next meeting? You pose a couple of different alternatives to how to conduct that.
I would say that was one of the issues that I think I need to put more information in just so that people understand it for when we do. And I think the discussion should be next meeting. I am hoping that this ordinance will come back for the first, second reading in the first meeting in June.
June 21st.
June 21st. My understanding is that we don't have a meeting on the first occasion. So my suggestion is that I add some additional information that I think points out the possibilities or the alternatives that are available. And I think that's one that's going to need some discussion before the board decides what to do with it.
Okay. Any other questions, public comment? Anyone? Okay. At this time, we'll go ahead and approve the first reading of Ordinance 15-271.
I move to approve the first reading of the Liquor Board Ordinance number 15-271.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second to approve this ordinance. In the first reading, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carries unanimously. Okay. We will go ahead and adjourn at this time as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. Moving along now to item number 18. All right? I'm on the right page, aren't I?
Yes.
Okay. The first reading of Ordinance 15-271, amending Story County Code Chapter 1.04, Business Licenses, Chapter 5.12, Sale of Alcoholic Beverages, and Section 8.28.025, Alcoholic Beverages, to revise the procedure for issuing and revoking business and liquor licenses and providing for other property related matters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Robert Morris for the record. This ordinance has the same number as the liquor board ordinance, and that's done for a purpose basically to incorporate the language that's passed as a liquor ordinance into the county code. So I've added that language to this ordinance. This ordinance also deals with business licenses. Again, there are quite a few changes made, and hopefully we've added some language to make the process a little more straightforward. I believe that it's working pretty well. And some of the language changes are just to make sure that we follow what the statutes require. And again, I added some issues on the back of the agenda action report, such as making sure that we do create appropriately the licensing divisions. There are some other issues that, again, I think would probably be better discussed at the second hearing or the public hearing on this ordinance. I'd also encourage people to read through it, and if you have any questions, let me know before the next hearing so that I can bring the appropriate information forward and the board can have a good idea of what the ordinance will do. And so with that said, I'd ask for the approval of the first reading. Since the chairman did such a good job of reading it by title, I'm going to pass on that and ask that you go ahead and approve it.
Okay. So once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this ordinance. Any other questions from the commissioners?
Not at this time.
I just have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I have to tell you, Bob has been a joy to work with on this. I mean, this was, I think your summation that this was an antiquated ordinance may have been the understatement of the decade so far. It's in terms of one of my friends, it's a soup sandwich in many cases. And Bob's found an awful lot of interesting angles to this. The statute requires certain things if we do things a certain way, and in some cases, no other jurisdiction that we know of in the state is necessarily compliant, but we will be. So I want to thank him. I frequently introduce him with Ann's permission, but not his, as the geek that loves ordinances. We would be up a creek without a paddle if it wasn't for Bob. So he's great to work with. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion for approval.
I move to approve the first reading of Ordinance 15-271.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Have a second.
I have a motion and a second to approve Ordinance 15-271. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Very good. Moving along now to Community Development and Planning. Item number 19 is Discussion and Possible Action. First reading of Ordinance number 16-272. An ordinance extending interim development regulations affecting Title 16 and 17 of the Story County Code by extending through August the 31st, 2016. Title 16A establishing minimum and interim requirements for subdivision map approvals. And Title 17A by limiting master plan amendments for approvals of planned unit developments during the master plan approval process and providing for other property related matters. The moratorium on subdivisions and planned unit developments will be in effect until the comprehensive update to the Story County Master Plan is adopted or August the 31st, 2016, whichever comes first. Mr. Osberg.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just first reading, so I'll keep it fairly short, but I think the title is pretty self-indication. That this is an ordinance to just put a hold on any large planned unit developments, subdivisions exceeding four parcels, and other large housing kind of projects until we're done with the master plan. As I stated, and for the record, our master plan is nearing complete. We're in the proofreading stages at this point. We're putting in the appendices and all of the supporting attachments and things like that. We have one more workshop left down in Lockwood, and at that point, then we're going to start asking for the Planning Commission to consider approval before this board then hears second and first reading for the master plan completion. The moratorium is only asking at this point to be extended for 90 days. I don't think it'll be 90 days that'll really be needed, but this will allow us a little bit of wiggle room in there to go through that final completion of the master plan. This is set up where if the master plan's approved early, the moratorium expires at that time and then is no longer applicable. I do want to remind us that this does not apply to parcel maps, meaning dividing parcels of four or less. It does not apply to building permits. It doesn't apply to special uses, variances, and other planning applications. People are still allowed to go and build their dream homes and things like that. And it is proposed to expire on August 31st, or when the master plan is completed, whichever comes first.
All right. Well, we went ahead and we imposed this moratorium several months ago, simply for the fact we want to get the master plan updated first. And so it's imperative that we go ahead and wait until the master plan is approved. So it's, I think this is pretty straightforward. We're just continuing something that we've already decided on what to do.
Yep.
So it's open for public comment. Does anybody have any public comments regarding this? Seeing this moratorium? Commissioners?
No question.
No question.
Okay. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion to approve this ordinance.
In first reading, how do we? This is your first reading.
I'll make a motion to approve the first reading. Yes. In conformance with the applicable federal, state, and county regulations, and the recommendation for approval by staff, I move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 16-272, creating interim development regulations, i.e. moratorium on subdivisions and planned unit developments affecting Title 16 and 17 of the Story County Code by creating Title 16A, establishing minimum interim requirements for subdivision map approvals, and Title 17A by limiting master plan amendments for approvals of planned unit developments during the master plan approval process, and providing for property-related matters.
All right, I have a motion. Can I get a second?
You have a second.
All right, so moved a second to approve the first reading of ordinance number 16-272. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 20, for possible action, licensing board second readings. Ms. Buchanan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stacy Buchanan for the record. As per our letter dated May 16th, an approval letter for second readings, all of these businesses have been found that the businesses meet code requirements necessary to operate in the county. Items A through K we're asking to be approved, and we're going to continue item number L. I'll read those. A, Luna Instrument Company Limited, out of Japan. MMC Contractors West. Action Direct, doing business as Red Point Contracting. Systems Automated Controls. E, Sid Tool Company, doing business as MSC Industrial Supply. F, Panasonic Environmental. AL Systems and Engineering. G, Diversified Consulting Services. H, Best Plumbing and Heating, LLC. I, Mastic Network Solutions. J, Moldman Systems, LLC. And the K, AF Novak Holdings, doing business as Rounds Bakery. We're asking to continue item L, Blue Buffalo, which is on 160B South C Street. They're getting their business license inspection as we speak, so we had to continue them until they were approved.
What was the whole official name of that last one?
Yeah, Taejun Ding. We call them daily.
Something wrong.
I always butcher it, so I...
Okay. All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's second readings of these business licenses? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve items A through K.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through K.
Can I get a second on that?
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve items A through K, the second reading of business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. I get a motion to continue item L until the next regular scheduled meeting here tonight.
I'll make a motion to continue item L.
It's been a motion to continue item L. I get a second.
Second.
And moved in second to continue item L to the next regular meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to the last agendized item is item number 21. This is public comment. Yes, sir. Come on up. If you'll come up to the podium. And if you haven't been here before, the way we work it, anybody who's going to give public comments is entitled to 3 minutes to talk about anything you want to talk about. If you'll start by identifying yourself for the record so that the clerk can get you on record. So go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. My name is John Warner. I'm an honorable veteran and served in our United States Navy.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Warren.
Thank you. I've come here today in regards to obtaining a sheriff's card for employment. It seems that some of the current policies Story County has in place has made it troublesome for an employee to obtain work. In my case, the lack of simple communication between parties has cost me a job. It is my understanding that the elected officials are here to serve the people, and in this case, it should be protect and serve. But so I somehow feel like I'm being bullied and manipulated by someone of power and position. I have to question why a sheriff's card is being pulled from me for the lack of meaningless information that your department has already obtained. The fact that I was indirectly involved in another individual's accident put me in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was never charged with any crimes related to this person or their accident, nor did I ever do anything wrong. So for the last 30 years of all my work in Washoe County and on work permits, this has never come up or been an issue. Now that I am expected to, in Story County to resubmit an application paying an additional $62 fee, this is disturbing to an individual that has gone through tough hardships with the recession. Why another fee for, once again, information your department already has? This just seems like the gouging of the client and a complete waste of time. Not to mention it seems like the client doing your job. Why can't this whole process be a little bit more simplified so an honorable veteran or any other good standing citizen can achieve the sheriff's card and employment desired? The end result, I feel like I have to jump through hoops to accomplish such a simple task. Not every individual has the means to pay double fees or drive all over the county just because the sheriff feels that he has much greater than other individuals, that he couldn't return a phone call to an honorable veteran putting him to work. Now I've lost that job and presumably a good chunk of change. I ask you, what if somebody took your job away and there was no, you had no idea when you might start back up again? So with all this being said, I hope that we can learn to work together more efficiently and positively to achieve our goals in the future. Equality and fairness should be the forefront of American standards. Honor and integrity should be commonplace in our society and are conducted in everyday life. But sadly, many individuals find themselves elected into positions of power and somehow lose their focus on the real tasks at hand. I believe I have found myself in this situation and ask that we can change our ways of judging people for their mistakes and instead praise them for their accomplishments. I feel demonized instead of glorified. This is sad. And I just ask, I think if the Commandant of the Marine Corps, the highest ranking Marine Corps official, could take a moment out to acknowledge me, you think a lowly sheriff in Story County can return a phone call? I'm just disturbed by how difficult this has to be. It's cost me a lot of money and a lot of hardship. I'm disgusted.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Thank you. Okay, we're still open for public comment. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Chris Thompson. I'm the project manager at TRI. I'm here as a fellow veteran of the gentleman that just spoke, and I talked to him out in the hallway briefly before the hearing, and he brought a scrapbook from his days as a Navy sailor. And one thing that he didn't mention that I found significant is he was serving on the USS Blue Ridge. The USS Blue Ridge is the command vessel for the commander of the 7th U.S. Fleet. That is a three-star command position, just like a corps commander. Those fellows command over 100,000 troops or sailors. And he was found competent enough and quality and trusted enough to go on that command ship. For veterans to have to chase down the sheriff in Story County to try to get him on the phone, to have to go up to the office to find out why the work card was pulled, and then basically being told that you can't find out why because of confidentiality rules, I would suggest that something needs to change soon with the management of work cards in Story County. And along those lines, if you're looking at the motivation behind why the employees at a certain business in this county keep getting stiff-armed by the sheriff's department, well, this is a good example as to why. This is a stipulation entered into between the Ethics Commission and Lance Gilman, dated April the 20th, less than a month ago. The sheriff in Story County had made four charges in an ethics complaint 18 months ago against Lance Gilman. Four separate charges arising out of an incident in a meeting here. Those charges were investigated. The Ethics Commission, seeing charges coming from the senior law enforcement officer.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, you have to direct everything to the board.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, will do. The Ethics Commission, seeing charges coming from the senior law enforcement officer of a county, I'm sure gave it great weight and great credibility. There was a lengthy interview of Mr. Gilman, a lengthy 18-month investigation, heavy litigation between the Ethics Commission and Mr. Gilman. And this stipulation was the Ethics Commission finding no violations in anything Lance Gilman did or said. Not one. Not one of the charges made by Sheriff Antonaro were sustained. Now, to get the Ethics Commission, after 18 months of investigation, to fully dismiss four charges that they brought is almost unheard of, but it shows how baseless these charges are. I would submit to you that the stream of folks coming in here simply trying to get a work card to go to work in Story County, and things like this of charges being made against Mr. Gilman using a badge as a political weapon are ample evidence that something else is driving these actions in the Sheriff Department. I would ask that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask the Commission, I'd ask the County Administration, I'd ask the District Attorney's Office respectfully to put their great minds to this issue and figure out, isn't there a better way to do the work card administration in this county so that continued collateral damage here, like John, don't continue to occur. Folks simply trying to get a job coming out of the recession. Mr. Chairman, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Thompson. All right. We're still on item number 21, public comment. Anybody else have any public comment here? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Sorry.